tell us where you come from originally and a little bit about your childhood and at what point music and specifically the trumpet became so important to you.
Sure. I grew up outside of Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm a Southerner by birth. And I grew up in music, though, from the very beginning. My parents are both musicians, music teachers and performers. And I come from, in my family, a long line of teachers and also music teachers. I was the first one in our family to follow performing specifically or solely. But my parents really, they trained me from the beginning, you know, the mandatory piano lessons, which I hated, which I, of course, like everyone, I now wish I had kept going. My father is a French horn player, and so he began my brass studies in particular. When I was 9 years old, he was my first teacher on the French horn. I wanted to play horn because we had two horns lying around the house, and I wanted him to be my teacher. And as often it turns out to be the case, firstborn son and a father in a music lesson situation isn't necessarily the easiest or smoothest to negotiate. And so after about 2 weeks of that, I decided, you know what, I think I'm going to play the trumpet. So I switched to the trumpet, and my father very graciously, after warning me that there were many more great trumpet players in the world than great horn players, and it would be tough to get a gig, found for me a wonderful teacher who was in the Atlanta Symphony at that time, Larry Black. And I studied with him. Larry was one of the most prolific trumpet teachers in all of the Southeast, and there are many people who all over the country and the world who've studied with him. Larry went to school. He's a Midwesterner. He went to school at Northwestern University back in kind of the first heyday of the Chicago Symphony Brass Section, studied with Vince Chickowitz at Northwestern. And so I unknowingly began my trumpet study in direct line of descent from all the great knowledge and the great music making of the Chicago Symphony under Herseth and Chickowitz and Jay Friedman and Dale Clevenger and all of those great legends. So I was very fortunate in that way, actually.
As you were growing up, obviously music was center stage. Did you, like a lot of youngsters, find yourself being pulled in other directions, other interests, other pursuits, and struggling to, you know, kind of find balance to give enough of your time and energy to this sort of central passion, or was this your passion pretty much to the exclusion of baseball or anything else that might have occasionally crowded it off your the central spot of your radar?
That is a very good question. You know, I look at students now, my students in Civic or students at Northwestern or younger students who might come and study with me from time to time, and I'm amazed at the amount of extracurricular activities they have going on. And I was the same way. You know, I was a very normal kid, I think. You know, I loved baseball. I loved basketball. I enjoyed reading, but I also enjoyed, you know, video games and television and all the things that kids enjoy. And I loved music too. And so for a time, until I think I was about 15 or 16 years old, I was trying to balance all those things. But, you know, something happened to me when I was about 15 and a half. I had gone to, you know, a handful of high-level professional concerts at various levels, in various genres, in orchestra concerts. I grew up kind of in the drum and bugle corps world with my father, which is, while not professional per se, at a very high level of performing, especially in the brass. So I'd grown up around high-level concerts and performances, but when I turned 15, my father took me to an open rehearsal in the Atlanta Symphony for the Mahler Second Symphony. And I had sort of heard it a little bit in recording, but I'd never heard anything live with that kind of power, that kind of connection with an audience. And that's when everything changed for me. And it's easy to see for a trumpet player how a Mahler Symphony could change your life, and that certainly was the case for me. And from that point on, I really was laser focused on music, on the trumpet, but really on being a performer. And I thought, you know, in the back of my mind, I might do lots of other things. I might be a doctor. I might try and be a pilot, an astronaut, all the things that kids, you know, a little boy wants to do. I thought, you know, if none of that works out, I know I could be a music teacher because my family does it. I'm sure I could do it. But after I heard that performance of the Mahler, all I wanted to do was play because I wanted to be a part of something like that as often as I could. And so from that point on, I was absolutely laser focused, which to make it in this business, which only gets more competitive as years go on, you have to be that way. You have to be well-rounded. Certainly you have to read and you have to get a good, strong education, but you have to be 100% committed to being a performer, to being the best you can be on your instrument, to getting better every day, but also to trying to, your best to understand this music that was given to us by geniuses. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at our role. Bernard Haitink, our former principal conductor, had a wonderful saying. You know, people would give him lavish praise on him for his incredible performances, his insightful, beautiful interpretations of his music, and he would always say, humbly, that, you know, he was grateful and he appreciated that they enjoyed it, but the real genius in this is the composer, is the people who gave us this music, and I always remember that you know, our job is to bring this music to life and for other people.
We're speaking with Christopher Martin, who is the principal trumpet of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and soon to be appearing as soloist with the Lake Geneva Symphony. Christopher Martin, could you say just a quick word about your experience at Eastman? I'm asking partly because I know something of Eastman, having visited it and knowing even a young, very talented young trumpeter who happens to be studying there right now. It's, of course, one of the world's most renowned music institutions. What was that experience like for you, and particularly in what way was it an arena of high competitiveness? Was it competitiveness in the best sense of the word, as far as you're concerned?
It was, absolutely. The trumpet studio there at that time was led by two professors, Charlie Geyer and Barbara Butler, who were Chicagoans themselves. They taught for many years after Eastman at Northwestern. They went to school at Northwestern. Charlie played in the Chicago Symphony. Barbara plays in the Music of the Baroque Ensemble, Chicago Chamber Musicians. So they have been, even during their professorship at Eastman, they have continued to be an integral part of the Chicago music scene. And again, you know, through them, luckily, I was able to continue my study in this Chicago tradition, the Chicago brass sound, the idea of lyricism in brass playing, singing through your instrument at all times, that again began with Herseth and that tradition from many, many years ago. So again, I was fortunate. I had wonderful guidance from my early teacher and my father, but I was able to, even at Eastman in, you know, Western New York, I was able to continue my study in the Chicago School of Brass Playing. But the environment there in the studio was wonderful. It was of course highly competitive. You know, you can't throw 25 trumpet players in a room together and expect it not to get a little competitive. But it was always like a family. And and later, after I came here to the CSO, I joined Charlie and Barbara at Northwestern as an adjunct faculty member for about 7 years, and it was exactly the same environment. It felt very much like home to me because it was the same as when I was a student, which was, you know, you work hard, but your competition in the end is with yourself, and that is the truth. When you go to an audition, you go to a solo competition, a chamber music competition, really you're competing only with yourself to do the best job you possibly can, because I've played in auditions myself where I played the best I possibly could and I didn't win. And I've been in auditions where I played pretty well, almost the best I possibly could, and I got the job anyway. So you really never know. It's really not about, in music, it's really not about competing with other people, you know, winning over other people. It's really about this never-ending journey to find, you know, your potential.
Hmm. I imagine that achieving the principal trumpet chair, at least I think you were that, with the Atlanta Symphony, had to be one of those kind of pinch-me moments, since you grew up in and around Atlanta and probably grew up maybe dreaming of that, maybe not imagining, though, that such a thing could ever come true, that someday Absolutely. You would be on that same stage.
Yeah, I never, my second most influential teacher in my life was the former principal trumpet of the Atlanta Symphony, James Thompson, who in a small world of music, unsurprisingly now is at Eastman teaching there. So, I never thought that I could end up there. I honestly had no idea what I was capable of when I decided to try and be a trumpet performer. I really had no idea. All I knew is that that's what I wanted to do, and I was going to try as hard as I could to do it. I really never imagined that I would end up in the Atlanta Symphony or the Chicago Symphony, much less. I mean, I have basically every day of my life is a pinch me moment, because I wake up and I remember what I have to do today, you know, and it's hard to believe almost every day of my life. But that particular, I'd been playing for 3 years in the Philadelphia Orchestra. After college, I was the third trumpet and what's called third trumpet and associate principal in the Philadelphia Orchestra, which is itself venerable, storied, and an incredibly powerful institution of music making. So I was fortunate and blessed to be there. And then when the first trumpet job in Atlanta came up, it was inevitable that I would try an audition and get the job. So I believed in myself a bit more at that point, but I still, you know, when they came in and told me I had the job, it was hard to believe. And then for 5 years, I was fortunate enough to play on that stage, where I first learned to really love music and what it could do for people.
Mm-hmm.